Sometimes the messes that we are faced with in our lives seem to be so huge, so impossible, that just by looking at the mess, we can get discouraged. But Nehemiah came before the king with a sad countenance. And in that culture, in that custom, that could potentially be a death sentence for him. A cupbearer was never to come before a king with a sad countenance. He was always to be joyful in his presence. But the king took note of that and he asked him what's going on. And so Nehemiah pours out his heart to the king. And I want to begin with verse 3. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, verse 5, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand." Notice that Nehemiah presents before the Lord promises that he had previously spoken over them, that God had spoken over them. "O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Nehemiah was a man of great courage and wisdom, and this was attributed to the fact that he was a man of prayer. How many know that true wisdom comes from the Lord? And so he was in a position here for God to intervene through human beings on the earth to accomplish his will. Throughout Scripture, you see that God chooses people to accomplish his will. None of us can afford to sit back and hope and wait for somebody else to step forward and do what God has called his church to do. If you are in his church, not in the building, but if you are born again, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life, if his Spirit is within you, you have been separated. You have been called out. Church means the called out ones. We have been called out to serve. We have been called out to build the kingdom of our God. We have been given an assignment to advance his kingdom in the earth. This kingdom is made up of human beings who are living stones. Amen. We are stones that make up God's habitation, his building. This is only a synagogue. Amen. A house that we worship in. But we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And the work must be done through you and I cooperating with him who has separated us to do the work. And when we look around us and we look at society and we look at the devastation of lives and the condition of our nation and we look around, it's very easy for us to think it's just too far gone. It's just too difficult. It's too impossible. And before we even begin to get started, we can be defeated in our own minds. If we begin to look at things just through the natural lens, we can be very quickly defeated. But if we understand that God is greater, God is well able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask. Amen. And God is calling out, who shall go for me? Who shall I send? Who will say yes to the commission to go and to bear fruit? Amen. Unto eternal life. So Nehemiah was a man who was chosen by God. And God was faithful to his request. And the things I want to talk about tonight is really four points I want to make. And let me just say this, that any time you and I determine to do God's will, anytime we determine to do what God says, the enemy is going to oppose you. Amen? You're going to be opposed. So we need to determine today, as Nehemiah had determined, that he is going to set himself to do the will of God. And he's not going to shrink back. He's not going to look back. He's not going to throw in the towel. He's not going to give up, because he knew that God was with him. God is with us and God is for us. And the work that he's given us is bigger than we are. But God is well able, amen, to accomplish the work if you and I will simply say yes and determine in our hearts that we're going to accomplish the will of God, that we're not going to take up our own agenda, but we're going to set our agenda aside so that we may take up the cross of Jesus Christ and accomplish the will of God in the time frame that we have been allotted in this world. For the days and the hours and the minutes are very quickly going by. And as our sister had already said tonight, we need to redeem the time. We need to make the most of every opportunity. We need to get busy for our God. We need to win souls. Amen. We need to make disciples. We need to get the sick healed. Amen. We need to get people restored. We need to be about our Father's business. So Nehemiah had come before the king with his request. And in chapter 2 in verse 8, the king had granted his request, and he says, a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the Lord's forest, that he must give the timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my Nothing is impossible with God. How many know that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord? God can give you favor with people in high places and open up doors of opportunity that in the natural would be totally impossible. But we don't live in a natural realm. We live in the Spirit. Amen? We operate from the Spirit. We live in a superior reality in Christ Jesus that supersedes that which we see in the natural. God is able to do the impossible through simple human beings like you and I. Do we believe that God is able to do the impossible? Do you believe that your family can be saved? Do you believe that this city can be saved?
Yes.
Amen. Has anybody beside myself sometimes looked out at the condition of our nation and looked out at the condition of our city and say, man, it's hosed. It's just so bad. That's the Greek interpretation of no. Hosed. We serve the God of all hope. Hope is future. Faith is now. In order for us to see hope, folks, we must walk in faith now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now is faith, hope is future. We are to walk in the now into the faith realm. Faith really is the power of God to move mountains. Faith is, because God is. Amen? Amen? And if our faith is in Him who is, then you can see the reality of faith manifest. And now, or even today, is the day of salvation. We sit back and say, well, one of these days, I'm going to really commit my life to Jesus. One of these days, I'm really going to commit myself to fulfilling the great commission of the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to put my hand to the plow and I'm going to go for it. One of these days, and every day you say one of these days, another day goes by. Amen. Today, faith is now. Today is the day of God's favor. And so let's take a look at here. First of all, before we do, Acts 14:22, the Apostle Paul said this, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. Has anybody experienced any tribulation in life? Sometimes we have delusional thinking that when I become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, that somehow everything is going to be, you know, somebody said the other day, rainbows and unicorns or something, you know. That's why we didn't tell you, right? It's not going to be peaches and cream all the time, is it? But how many know that it's worth it to follow Jesus? The joy that He gives is greater than the temporary inconveniences, the temporary, sometimes, misery that we face in this life. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for the times of mourning. Amen? And He gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because we are His planting. He's got His hand upon your life. He's simply waiting for you to step forward and to go. What part of go don't we understand, right? Whenever you set or determine to do the will of God, you're going to face some opposition. Expect it. Know it's going to happen. But know this, that with God, we shall gain the victory. It's not even an if. With God, we shall gain the victory. Yes. Caleb and Joshua declared, amen, we are well able to take the land because God has promised it to us. They're saying, with God, we're able to overcome every giant. We're able to overcome every obstacle. Nothing will stop us except ourselves. If we start to believe the report that the enemy gives us, oh, forget it. It's beyond hope. That's when we have to say, wait a minute, I'm not receiving that evil report. My Bible says that now is faith. Amen? Amen? And faith in God can move any mountain. It can tackle any giant. There is nothing that God cannot do. So you're going to have to make a decision when you set your heart to do the will of God that you're going to follow through, because there's going to be opposition, but the opposition cannot stop you unless you are defeated in your own heart. One of the tactics in war is to inflict fear into the enemy's heart. So that before the war even begins, you've all heard of shock and awe, right? Mm-hmm. To shock the enemy and to put fear, inflict fear upon the enemy. So that already in their hearts they begin to tremble and they're already defeated. As we think inside, what we really believe is what we're going to do and what we're going to receive. If we don't believe God can, we won't. Can God do it? Can God save our families? Yes. Can God save our city? Yes. Can God save America? Yes. I'm not going to listen to all the negative reports. Are you hearing me? God does not want this nation to go down. I don't care what the prophet may say. God does not want, it's not his intent. He's not willing that this nation should go down. He wants to raise up a standard of righteousness in this nation. And you and I are that standard. You and I are the ones that can affect change. We can be world changers. Yes. Yes. Amen. Will we rise up? Will we rise up with God and say, with God we shall gain the victory? Will we rise up and say, let God arise and his enemies scatter? Let God arise in your own heart. Let faith arise in your own heart. Be encouraged in the Lord, who is your strength. It's not of us, it's of him. We're not enough for the job. God had to whittle Gideon's army down to 300. It was too many. Lest we should say, look what we did. So God will use us in our, what we think is inefficiency or inability. And he will do extraordinary things through ordinary people. If we will believe. If we will put aside our agenda. If we'll get over ourselves, that we may run the race set before us. An athlete, amen, cannot be full of themselves. They have to be focused on their goal. They have to be focused on the purpose for which they are training, amen? Amen. If you're going to run a race, you've got to train. You've got to be focused. You've got to be determined that no matter what pain may come my way, what problems I may face along the way. How many have watched the Olympics? And sometimes those Olympians are actually, performing or doing their thing while they're sick. I mean, sometimes they're like running a race and they've got the flu. Most of us, it's like the first sign of a sniffle. It's like the whole family has to stay home. Well, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. But we need to be focused. We need to be determined that God's heart, God's will is for the harvest, for souls of men. Amen? Amen. That people may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Jesus died. He paid the price for our sins. He paid an ultimate price for the sins of the world, for men, women, boys, and girls to come into his kingdom. It's his will that the world would be saved. So if we look at it through natural eyes, we'll say, oh, it's all going to fall apart anyways. But if we look through eyes of faith, we say, but with God, we're well able to take it. With God on our side, we're well able to take that giant down that stands in our way. We can do it. Not because we can do it, but because God is mighty to do battle on our behalf. Amen. All we need to do is stand. All we need to do is declare the word of the Lord. All we need to do is step out by faith and begin to lay hands on people and pray for them. Amen? Amen. And watch what God will do. But when you pray for people, don't pray with wishful thinking. Pray with faith. Now faith is. Now faith is. Today we believe God's going to touch you. We believe today you're going to be healed. Step out. Be a radical.
Amen.
Amen. See, she's a radical. Quit trying to protect yourself and your dignity. Flush it. Lose sight of yourself.
Right.
It's when we lose sight of ourselves where we can be bold for God. And then it doesn't matter. Isn't it true that when we're consumed with ourselves, we're thinking, just, you know, how do people perceive me? What do they think of me? Well, you can't operate in faith, because the first thing that happens is when you start getting full of yourself, and we start just thinking about ourselves, fear comes in. And where there's fear, there's not going to be faith.
Right.
When we get past ourselves, get over ourselves, and get a hold of God. And start saying, you know what? I'm not accepting anything else except that my God is able to do it.
Amen.
We have to live in now. That faith is today. God's power is available. Because the kingdom of heaven is not in the sweet by and by, but it's among you right now. Heaven is here now. See, this is what's been blind. Many Christians don't understand that the kingdom is among you because the Holy Spirit has been given unto us. What is the purpose? Why did the Comforter come? Why does God pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? Amen? Just so we can have goosebumps? No! But that we may do the works that Jesus did. And whatever you set about to do the works that Jesus did, you're going to have some opposition. So let's take a look at the first one in chapter 2 and verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, what? That he was going to rebuild the wall. What's the first thing that happened? They laughed at us and despised us. Sometimes that's where some people stop, right there. As soon as the first person mocks or laughs at them, they're done. Are you with me? Well, I don't know if I want to do this Jesus stuff. I don't like being laughed at. I like being popular. I like everybody to like me. Get over you! That's the problem. When we're full of us, then we're concerned about what everybody thinks. All right. Do I hear an amen over there? First thing the enemy wants to do is he wants to discourage us. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. This is just like the devil, isn't it? And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" Have you ever heard anybody say Christians are a bunch of weaklings? Christ is just a crutch. Yes. Well, if you need a crutch, get a crutch. Amen? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. What did they do? They didn't just chew their nails and worry. They called on the Lord. So anytime you set your heart to serve the Lord, the Sanballats, the Tobias, and the Geshems are going to oppose you. How many know that's true? And your enemy, his first tactic that he uses, and sometimes it's the only thing he has to use, and that is discouragement. So the first point here is the enemy will come at you with discouragement. When you set your heart to do the will of God, right away, he will try to discourage you. He will try to, you know, make you uncomfortable. He will raise somebody up to speak negatively to you, to mock you possibly. You see, that was my problem, is when I began to determine in my heart that I want to get right with God. And I was in the army and I thought, these guys were having a Bible study and I wanted to go there. But I also wanted everybody to like me, you know. And all of a sudden I find out that, hey, these guys are mocking me because I'm hanging out with these Christians. And I didn't want any part of that. So I just said, well, guys, you go ahead on with me. I want to hang out with the cool people, you know. How many know that a lot of cool people will go to hell because they refused to repent of their sin? You know what? You can still be cool and follow Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Folks, it really is cool to follow Jesus. And it's not like... And I just don't want to get too far off on this rabbit trail here, but let me just say this. We just had a men's conference that was pretty good. And the message was right on. But it's so true that society is trying to effeminate men. They're trying to strip men of their masculinity. And it actually has creeped into the church, where men have become limp-wrist and soft. Are you with me, guys? Right? We're not of that breed, right? We're not going to buy the lie that society is trying to tell us, that somehow men and women are the same. How many know that, guys, how many realize you can't be a mother? You can't give birth, right? Ladies, right? We're different. Would you agree? But we're both important. Would you agree? And we are equal in God's sight. But we have different roles, different assignments. But society is trying to strip men of their masculinity. What God is looking for is for men to rise up. Men to take their place. Are you with me? We need some men of God to rise up. What we've done is we've given a lot of that responsibility over to the ladies. And God bless the ladies that they stand in there and they pray and they do most of the work in most churches. Amen. But it's time for men to rise up. Amen? I thank God that the men in this church are not that way. You see, the men in this church are involved. Hallelujah. But anytime you try to accomplish the will of God, He's going to try to discourage you. God is trying to, I want you to hear, God is trying to toughen us up spiritually. He doesn't want thin-skinned people. We are warriors. Yes. Ladies, you are warriors.
Amen.
Dressed in the armor of light.
Yes.
The love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. To love is to walk in true power. Because in the absence of love is fear. And so true courage is a result of love. Amen? The love of God. It comes from His love. When we are walking in faith and in courage, it's because of the love of God in us. I'm talking about in a spiritual dimension here. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, when we're full of the power and the love of God, we have confidence beyond ourselves. And the more that you grow in the Lord, the more you will find that you are more and more dependent upon the Lord.
Amen.
Because God is weaning you off what was and taking you into what is. And see, an unbroken person can be obstinate and rebellious. I'm talking about a Christian even. An unbroken Christian is usually very stubborn. True humility is power under control.
Amen.
It's not weakness. It's actually strength that is under control. People have misunderstood humility, and they think, and it's been presented in a sense that it means that you just lay down and let people walk all over you. No, 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 no. We are to be the head, not the tail. Above and not beneath. God is the one who gives us strength. God is the one who equips us. Why? Because the world needs to see the evidence of the kingdom. The world needs to see Jesus Christ. They don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus through us. And if we're full of ourselves and we're strong in ourselves and confident in ourselves, then that life of Christ is not going to be revealed. So God weans us off ourselves. God brings us through a process, and we are broken in the process. He takes that lump of clay, amen, and He takes a vessel that might have been formed, but it was marred. Are you with me? And He breaks that thing down, and He refashions it into a vessel of honor. That's going to be beautiful to look upon and useful to the potter or to the one who owns it. And so we need to understand that we need God's power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live for God. If we cannot stand up for Jesus Christ, it's because we're powerless. If we shrink back in the day of adversity, it means our strength is small. If we walk in fear and in intimidation, folks, it means that our strength is small. Perfect love casts out all fear. Our strength is in God. He is mighty. Amen? And God wants to make His people mighty in spirit, so that we can advance the kingdom, so that we can be like Joshua and Caleb, who would not shrink back, but they went in and said, we're going to do this because God has promised us He'd be with us. We don't have to fear our enemy. Nehemiah also faced attempts of armed raiders. They begin to step it up when they realize that they're mocking wasn't having any effect, that they just continued to press on. Then they said, okay, we're going to have to ratchet this up a little bit more. And we're going to have to get a little more stronger on them in order to defeat them. And so take a look at chapter 4, verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to the half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. The closer you get to accomplishing and fulfilling the will of God, the angrier the devil will get. The more progress that we make in this church, the angrier the devil's going to get. But if we don't give up, we don't quit, we don't shrink back, we keep our hand to the plow, we keep our eyes on Jesus, we remember to keep the main thing, this is about the kingdom, amen? This is not about playing church. This is not some drama game. This is about souls of people. We need to reach beyond what we see. We need to rise up above the chatter of the world and the earthly realm. We need to get our minds, hearts, focused in heavenly places in Christ. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And so they said, hey, these guys are continuing. Look at the progress they've made. Now they're really getting upset. So they begin to move things up a little and got even stronger with them. And what did they do here? It says in verse 8, all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Whenever confusion comes into your life, into your family, or your church, or your situation, understand who's behind it. God is not the author of And so they conspire together to come and to attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. What's the key here?
Prayer.
We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's in prayer. And we, because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. What's going on here? Now comes the report, the evil report, the negative report. Now comes the whiner. Oh, it's just so bad. You see what's happening. Oh, it's all falling apart. It's all coming undone. If you hang out with people like that, you'll start thinking and speaking like they do.
Amen.
And you start agreeing with a lie.
That's true.
Well, we don't receive that junk. Amen? We walk in faith that God has given us the land. The only thing that can stop us is you and I stopping. And so the strength of the laborers, they said, is failing. Isn't that the way people react? I mean, the crowd mentality begins to take over and said, oh, where's so-and-so? So-and-so's not here. Oh, my goodness. What happened? Oh, and so-and-so's not here. Oh, so-and-so's left. So-and-so's upset. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, and all of a sudden, this thing starts to spread. And we need some Joshuas and Calebs to say, wait a minute. We're not buying into that. Did God call us? Did God anoint us? Did God appoint us? Is God here, amen, to bring a victory in our city?
Yes.
Then if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We're not going to listen to any other report except that, yes, with God we shall gain the victory. We are here to build the kingdom. We are here to advance the kingdom. We will not allow the devil to talk us out of that. Amen?
Amen.
And even if he tries to come against us with his attempts and his darts and take jabs at us, we keep our eyes on the prize. We keep our eyes on why we're here and where we're going, and we're marching to victory because Jesus, hallelujah, is the author and finisher. Jesus is the finish line. We cannot go wrong. We cannot miss it if we keep our eyes on Jesus. If you take your eyes off Jesus and you start looking around and visualizing everything in the natural, starting with, how many know the devil loves to take something that's nothing and make it into something? He likes to magnify your problems. If he can get you to start dwelling on the problem rather than the solution, the problem only magnifies. And then fear replaces faith. And then discouragement comes in. And then depression comes in. And then apathy and despair. And we just throw the towel and say, it's too much. I give up. Somebody said it this morning in Sunday school, and I've heard it before, but it's, you know, the bigger the blessing, the bigger the giant. God wants to take you into a greater authority, a greater anointing. We pray, God, anoint us for greater things. But buckle your seatbelt, because that means that you're going to have to endure something to get to that place where God can entrust you with greater things. It means you have to be broken so that you can become user-friendly. Amen? You have to be in a place of submission before God before He can entrust to you the greater riches. Otherwise, we'll become selfishly ambitious even with the gifts that God gives us. Ooh. We can use them for our own gain. We can use the gifts God gives us to make a name for ourselves. So God has to bring us into a place. And I've found, folks, that if you will humble yourself, you don't have to be humble like that. If you just say, okay, Lord, you said do this, I'm going to do that. You see, unbroken people, and this is really not my message, but it's part of it. God dropped this in me, are the people that will hurt you the most.
What'd you say?
Unbroken people. Yeah. But when God breaks a person, He has to take the clay down. Amen. He has to take that vessel down. And then He begins to put it back together. He begins to fashion it. He begins to build that vessel. He begins to raise you up. Amen. To be a vessel of honor. When you're a vessel of honor, the Lord can trust you. He can trust you with greater riches. The reason why a lot of Christians only live within a certain bubble and they never go any further is because they will not submit themselves to God or the authorities that God has placed in their life. And so as long as they live in rebellion to authority, God's not going to let them out of that box. Because He knows how dangerous they can be, especially with the anointing. How many have realized that you can actually use your anointing for selfish gain? There are even those who will preach Christ for profit. Paycheck preachers. They got to have a certain standard. They got to have a certain paycheck. If God says, drop it all, go here and do this, are we willing to do it? Are we willing to say goodbye to the job that's well paying and everything is predictable in our lives to take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ and trust Him for provision? Yes. That's where we need to be. We need to be like Nehemiah that says, listen, there's nothing more important is that we build. Amen. Rebuild the city. We are building the city of God. We have been given responsibility to gather the stones together. It's called evangelism. Amen. We're gathering stones. Yes. We're bringing them to Jesus. And Jesus is the master architect. And Jesus is the one that places each stone in its different shapes and sizes and colors and odd shapes. And He puts all these stones together and He makes something beautiful out of it. Isn't that what He's done in our lives? He's making something beautiful out of our lives. And so, the more ground the enemy loses, the more souls he loses, the angrier he becomes. We are seeing God's hand upon this work here. We are seeing good things happen. We are seeing people getting saved. Amen. We are seeing people getting delivered, people getting healed, people getting filled with God's Spirit, people rising up in their calling. And because of that, the enemy's mad. He's like a spoiled brat child. So we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to live above all the noise, all the chatter, all the negativity. And we need to say, you know what? I'm not going there. We're not talking about that. I'm not saying that we don't deal with things when we need to. I'm saying that we cannot allow the enemy to so distract us that he can shut us down. There is a very important role for this work right here. God wants to do an awesome work. Amen. Through you and through me. This is a unique church. We are a boots on the ground church. We are a front lines church. We're not people that are sitting back in garrison, amen, sipping Cokes. We are warriors and we're going to be on the front lines and we're going to go into all the world and we're going to preach the gospel and God is going to confirm His word with signs following, hallelujah, with signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to see souls come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're going to rejoice together with the Lord in that day that all of us have done our part to see the work of the Lord accomplished. He has already given us an assignment that we need to build, amen, the kingdom. And He uses human beings to do it. God is on our side. So every time the enemy comes for you, don't look at him and worry and fret. Just look to Jesus. Get on your knees. When things sometimes they come against me, things get so heavy sometimes. When I come under assault from the enemy, I found a place of quiet rest. I find a place of rest where there's no stress. It's near the heart of God. I find I can just get on my face, get on my knees before God. I can pour out my heart to God. And my God gives me peace, supernatural peace. He lifts me into a higher place. that apart from him, I would collapse and fall apart. I would have lost my mind by now if it wasn't for the grace of God. Some of you know, it's easy for us to sit, you know, in the bleachers and criticize the people, the players on the field. But it's a different story when you're on the field and you understand what it's like. It's a different story when you walked in a pastor's shoes or an apostle or an evangelist or a missionary in the foreign field, and you can identify with the struggles and the things that they have to deal with. And it's people who have walked in those shoes that have empathy and understanding and see things through a little different perspective. You know what? We don't need any more armchair preachers. We need God's people to rise up to their call, get busy for Jesus, amen, and quit criticizing the people that are out there doing something. All right. Somebody said, there he goes again. He's mad. We can take some questions later or some comments, okay? Now, chapter 6, right? Verse 1. What's the next thing the enemy tries to do? He tries to lure him, Nehemiah, outside the city. You see, if the enemy can't discourage you through mockery and through personal attacks, are you hearing me today? If the enemy cannot discourage you through mockery or through personal attacks on you, even on your character, I want you to hear this, then he's going to try to pull you out of fellowship. He's going to try to pull you outside the camp, outside the city. Now it happened, verse 1, when Sanballat, Tobiah, here they are again, those three, the three stooges, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together. Friendly talk. He said, well, that didn't work. Let's try smoozing them with kindness. Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Ono, that should be enough to tell you, hey, I don't know about Ono. But they thought to do me harm. What was going on here? God gave him discernment. He picked it out. He realized what was really going on behind the face. And so what did he do? I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Now look what they did. They didn't say, oh, okay, good night. But they sent me this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. Sometimes, folks, you have to consistently resist an attempt of the enemy to get you duped. Sometimes you have to resist to the point where it may appear that you're being offensive to that person to protect yourself from something that is underlying. What happened? 4 times they spoke to them. He's a mastermind at diversion. The enemy is smarter than we are, folks. Anytime a sheep is lured outside its fold, it is vulnerable. There are some Christians who have passed the two areas, amen, of being able to stand up to some mockery. Amen? And they might have even been able to endure some attacks on themselves. However, they have been given into something else that appeared like it was something of a friend, of something friendly of nature. And so if he can't do it through something that may be considered ridicule or an attack on that person, then he'll try friendliness to lure you into his trap, to get you to step outside of the fold for the purpose of really taking you out. There are many people who have been shipwrecked in their faith because they believe that lie. That it's not important for me to be in fellowship. That I can just stay home and watch the football game on Sunday. Instead of fellowshipping with God's people, I can go hang out in the bars. If we go into a bar, we need to go in with a purpose of winning people, amen? Pulling them out of that place. Not accommodating them in that place. What kind of message do we send? If you go into a bar, it should be to go in there to witness to people, amen? Do you think Jesus would go into a bar?
Yes, sure.
The religious would say, stay out of that place of ill repute. But Jesus would say, go in there with my love. Love those people out of there. Amen? Talk about the new wine with them. Talk about the pleasures of God with them. If you want to really get high, you got to go to the Most High. So I've only got about another hour and a half left to go. We're almost through. So we got to be careful of getting the impression that we can be, you know, we can go about this alone. That we can somehow just make it. I'll just me and Jesus, we have this thing going on, you know. And I feel closer to God in my fishing boat anyways. And or in the woods or whatever it is. You know, I have no problem with going fishing and having fellowship with God when you're fishing. Or in the store, amen? Or in your car or in your living room or wherever you go, you're supposed to have fellowship with God. Amen. You don't have to go to the mountain. If God wants you to go to the mountain, go to the mountain. Amen. But don't replace that with fellowship with God's people. You and I need one another.
Yes.
If you cut somebody's hand off and you leave it over here, amen. That thing may flop around for a few minutes, but it's going to die. Sometimes they can put a hand back on if they get it quick enough. But the longer a person stays out of fellowship, the more vulnerable they are to the enemy destroying their life. Don't think that you don't need to be here. Amen. How many know I'm not talking about punching a clock in church? Talking about just as an individual and part of a body, my responsibility is to my brother and my sister. Not only to receive, but also to give. That we might all build one another up according to the measure of grace that was given to us. And finally, when that didn't work, they were subjected to lies and gossip. Gossip, one of the most destructive forces. Amen. And so, chapter 6, verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Has anybody been subjected to something similar to this? Where somebody was put up to, you know, to speak certain things into your life for your own demise? For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid. Are you hearing it? And act that way and sin. Try to save yourself. Try to save your life. Try to bow out. Try to run away from your call. Try to run away from your responsibility. Some people, they simply do hide out in the church. That's their whole Christianity experience. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are to bloom wherever we're planted. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see the glory of God. Amen? They may see our good works, and they will glorify our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Listen, determine right now if you're going to set your heart to build the kingdom, to be a world changer, to be not just some nominal existence, amen, where we sit around and we waste our time eating popcorn and watching television, but we're going to commit ourselves, give ourselves to the work of the Lord. If we can do that, and if you determine, as Nehemiah, to accomplish the will of God for your life, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have mockery. You're going to have the darts of the enemy come against you. You're going to have people trying to divert you away from your calling. Finally, you're going to be subject to gossip and lies. And sometimes this is the most difficult thing to deal with. When somebody lies about you. But in all of this, we are more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Through Him who loved us. It doesn't matter what man says. My reputation is already shot, so I could care less. I want you to hear that.
Praise God.
And it's not because I did evil either. It's because of lies and gossip. But none of that moves me. It's not going to shake me. It's not going to deter me from doing what God told me to do. I'm in this all the way. I've got my eyes on the prize. So determine today, if they lie about you, if they gossip about you, if they talk bad about you, whatever they do, you're not going to quit. And what matters is that God sees you. That God knows your name. And that the devils know your name. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus, we know. Paul, we know, but who are you? We need to be known by the principalities and powers. We need to be known, amen?
Amen.
If you're known by them, you'll have opposition. If you're being opposed because of your witness, because of your testimony, because of your stand, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Because the Spirit of God and of glory rests upon your life. And with the anointing comes opposition. It's going to come automatically because we're in a battle. But the bottom line is this, that we're overcomers because we have an overcomer in us.
Hallelujah.
And Nehemiah would not be shaken. He would not be deterred. He determined that he was going to complete the assignment, complete the work of God. And you and I, folks, God is calling us, all of us, to make up our minds to repent and determine that we're going to make the rest of our lives count for Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Will you decide today? Commit yourself to this work. We need laborers. We need helpers. We need people to commit, amen, to support what God is doing even in this church. Because it's bigger than this church. This is an equipping and a training ground. We're here to be equipped, amen, for the work of the ministry. So that we might make Jesus famous in the earth. That we may have the joy and the excitement of seeing God use us, little old us, in extraordinary ways. I'm just getting started. Are you just getting started? Don't despise the day of small things. Just because you might not have seen a whole lot right now in your life, don't despise that. Amen? Amen. Because everything has to begin with a seed. And don't despise small beginnings. If you commit your life, commit your way to the Lord, He will prosper you. He will bless you in every way. And He will make, hallelujah, your life to be a shining example of a follower of Jesus. I've been speaking to you tonight, folks, by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. You're going to see Keith, you're going to see flesh in and out of this. But I want you to hear this because it's just not me, okay? I'm not here to represent myself tonight. But I'm going to preach the word as God gives it, whether it's popular or not. Well, I didn't like what you said. It's too bad. God tells me what to say. I say what God says. I'm loving you enough to tell the truth. Thank God somebody tells you the truth. Quit petting the devil. Trying to pacify him. All right, devil. I want you to hear something. I'm almost through. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. We have enemies that are opposing us. Amen? We have to determine not to love our lives unto the death. If we live, we live unto God. If we die, we die unto God. Either way, we belong to Him or His property. So let's live for God. Make the most of our lives. Amen? Watch God use us in tremendous ways. But the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. But it doesn't end there. The violent take it by force. We need to rise up, amen, as Joshua and Caleb, as Nehemiah, and say, you know what? We're not going to be punked out by the devil. Our God is with us. Our God is for us. We need to have a heart like David and said, this giant stands in my way. He's coming down because God has already given us the victory. All we need to do is step into it. Okay. Oh, but not scaring anybody tonight. I'll scare myself later when I listen to it probably. But I'm not angry tonight. I'm passionate. It's the fire of God that gives us boldness, that gives us that tenacity, that gives us the ability to press in. Amen? And to take the devil by the neck and shake him and cast him out. We are not to shrink back. We need to really believe the word of God that says to us, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. You are a world changer. God wants you to change your world. Amen. Humble yourself, submit yourself, surrender your life. Let God do the work in you of preparation. When you go through the trials and the temptations and the difficulties, bear it patiently. Keep a good attitude. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Don't allow the Tobias and the Sanballats and the Geshems to steal away your faith. Resist the devil steadfast in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And he will go. Hallelujah. Has anybody felt tonight that God has spoken to him?
Yes.
Amen. Well, let's rise and give God the glory tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Arise and His enemies be scattered. Say it again. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. When the devil comes against you, say right out loud if you have to, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. And God rises within you. Amen. And he gives you courage to face every situation, every day, every problem. Folks, don't let the devil lie to you anymore. He's going to try to seduce you away. He's going to try this way, discouragement. He's going to try attacks. He's going to try gossip. He's just, don't listen to him. Know that you are in your assignment. If this is your assignment, then I'm asking you to commit your life to this assignment. Are you with us?
Yes.
We can do it together. We can affect change. I believe we can reach nations. I believe that. Are we willing to go all the way? Are we willing to get over ourselves to do so? Pray, seek the Lord, and He will reveal to you your purpose, your assignment. And then be determined as Nehemiah to say, yes, I've made up my mind. No turning back.